Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the Miami Heat by a score of 117-109 in overtime, which this game effectively seals the Heat's season. They would need a very, very fortunate set of circumstances to play out in order to avoid elimination. And, you know, unfortunately, that also means the end of Dwayne Wade's illustrious career. But get to that in a second. The Raptors obviously playing a very desperate team given the circumstances. The Heat really capitalized early on. They jumped out to a double-digit lead in the first half. I mean, really, the Heat got to the bucket whenever they wanted in the first half. It was kind of sad in terms of just how easily the Raptors were allowing penetration, getting to the bucket. And it wasn't really the bigs' fault. It was really just the wings. Like, they just weren't really applying a lot of ball pressure. They were letting themselves get beat really easily, really over-relying on the help. And honestly, the Heat should have had a 20-point lead early on just by how sluggish the Raptors were. But, you know, the Raptors were eventually, you know, bust through that by going through Norman Powell, of all people. It was one of those great games for Norm. You know, it's all or nothing with Norm. Sometimes he's going to be terrible, and sometimes he's going to be great. Today, he was great. I mean, this is probably his best game of the season. He finishes with 23 points on 7 of 7 shooting, but just within the context of the game, these were very important baskets. I remember the Raptors were down like 13. Nothing was going on. The bench unit was really struggling. And here comes Norm, all of a sudden, going to the basket, exploding to the rim for a pair of finishes. And that really sparked the Raptors. That along with the Danny Green 3, of course, you know, because Danny Green 3 is, you know, Danny Green, he's just made a whole living off killing the Heat. But, yeah, that really got the Raptors back into the game. The Raptors defensively, I think, locked in from there on. I mean, there were some frustrating moments with, you know, James Johnson, you know, randomly getting a couple of baskets to drop. And, of course, Dwayne Wade, you know, he's a great player. He made some incredible step back threes and things like this. And Deion Waiters, you know, occasionally hit a jumper. But, you know, for the most part, the Raptors' defense was much better in the second half. You know, they gave up by halftime. The Heat had already scored 57 points. But in the third quarter, the Raptors only allowed 22. Fourth quarter, only 24. And in overtime, I mean, the Raptors just locked the Heat down while also playing some great offense. My only real bone to pick with this game, really, because, like, early on, like, not playing very hard, like, is completely understandable. A lot of people were very angry about how, you know, like, oh, the Raptors are arrogant for relying on flipping a switch. But, like, this kind of fails to account for the very, you know, it's the reality that the Raptors have another gear. It's very clear. They've shown it many times. This game was very similar to that game against Orlando, for example, where, you know, Orlando comes on strong, whatever, and then all of a sudden the Raptors are like, yeah, you know what, we will play hard. And then when they play hard for, like, a half, a quarter, anything like that, it swings the game. And I think that's kind of what happened today. But going back to what I said earlier, the only bone I have to pick with this game was just, you know, how the game sort of played out down the stretch. You know, against a close game, execution really matters. The Raptors had the ball with about 30 seconds left in a tie game at the end of regulation. And, you know, so they went to Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, they're going to go to Kawhi Leonard. This is, you know, their best player, best scorer, everything like that. But it was one of those things where, like, Kawhi is just dribbling at the defense and there's no actual set play being called. And, you know, Nick Nurse obviously didn't call a timeout either. He kind of trusted his players to run. And the end result was just really poor. And it kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. I mean, like, realistically, the Raptors kind of atoned for that. And I'll explain in a second. But that play, it was so unimaginative. And it was so wasteful, really. Because there's a lot of things you could do with the starting lineup. You got a lot of options. You got veteran guys. You got a guy who can pass out of the high post and Marc Gasol. Kyle Lowry can obviously help create and facilitate a play. Pascal is a threat to score. Danny Green is a threat to score, right? It's a lot of things you can do. And even with Kawhi, there's better ways to use Kawhi than just have him just dribble at the defense, right? And I've talked about it on the podcast, like, all season. There's a lot of these opportunities where, like, why can't you just get Kawhi into the post, have someone else dribble the ball up, and make sure he has good post position around that elbow area or maybe in the top of the key, anything like that, Just let him seal his man, catch the ball, and then go to work one-on-one, right? Like, if you want to play one-on-one and you got to get a bucket, it doesn't matter if a two or a three, that's a lot better of an option than having him dribble at the defense. Because realistically, Kawhi Leonard isn't like a James Harden type, you know, creating off the dribble. He can do it to some degree, but, like, it's not his best skill. Where he's most effective, really, is in the mid-range when he can, take one or two hard dribbles and get to a spot on either on the baseline where he's really comfortable going for that fadeaway, or even just like, you know, just from the mid-range elbow area and just anywhere in the mid-range. It's easier for him to do that. And where he doesn't have to break down his man, he just has to get to a spot where he can sort of rise up and shoot over the top. And it's kind of like Melo in that way. And I know it's like, you know, Melo obviously his career has ended in a, well, who knows if his career has ended, but you know, it's petered out and he's sort of got a negative reputation. But Melo was very effective for a very long time in that elbow area. And I feel like Kawhi has a similar skill set where he can kind of bully the guy from there, not necessarily have to rely on the dribble. And so I thought that was a very unimaginative play. Kawhi dribbles the ball for 20 seconds, ends up shooting a contested brick over James Johnson. And James Johnson, in terms of size, he's not going to get bullied by Kawhi Leonard. We know James Johnson is 6'8" and very, very strong. And so I didn't like that play. Luckily, the Raptors got a tiny bit of help from the referee, so the heat on the ensuing possession, they're trying to go and win the game. And the ref blows the whistle for the inbound, but then he like didn't give the ball immediately to Dion Waiters or whoever was inbounding. And so the play kind of unfolded before the Heat actually had the ball. And so the initial play was obviously to get to Dwayne Wade, set up a heroic finish. Dwayne Wade cuts to the backcourt. Kawhi follows him. But the play didn't develop quickly enough, or it developed too quickly, really, because of the referee. So, you know, it ended up in this just confused jumble of a play where the Heat didn't really get a good look at all. Adebayo got a putback, but that was after the final whistle, and he also went over the back on Kyle Lowry. And so, you know, the Heat were, Eric Spoelstra was irate at this call after the game. He slammed the referees. He's going to get a fine. But, you know, that's understandable, to be honest. Like, you can't blow the whistle and start the play and not actually be ready, right? Like, that just gives the defense such a huge advantage. And I think, you know, the Heat have a bone to pick there. But in overtime, they still had a chance to win. And I thought the Raptors, that's where the quality really shined through, right? Like, the starting unit, it's so dynamic. They have so many good passers, so many good playmakers that there's no way you should just rely on just one-on-one play. Like, yes, sometimes you should rely on one-on-one play. Like, sometimes it's effective. You kill the clock, things like this. But, like, you know, the Raptors showed today, like, when they move the ball on crunch time, they're really, really, really hard to guard. Like, right off the bat, they run a play where Gasol's in the high post. Kawhi makes a cut to the basket. And Gasol leads Leonard to the rim with a pass. It's a little bit ahead of him, but Kawhi's able to use his ridiculously long arms to, like, bat the ball into the corner right where Danny Green is, and he hits the corner three. That was just a spectacular pass just by Gasol, and also especially by Leonard. And obviously Danny Green is clutch as hell, but, you know, you got that play. You got another play where, Gasol's in a high post. Danny Green makes a back cut against Dion Waiters. Danny Green gets a layup that way. And, even when they did run the Kawhi isolation where, you know, Cal comes over to come set the screen, they did a really good job today of, you know, Kawhi anticipated that the Heat were going to trap him at half court. Lowry did a great job of anticipating where the pressure was, so he slipped the screen. Kawhi was able to pass over the top, and Kyle from that point on had a 4-on-3 advantage. Swings it to Marc Gasol. Heat rotate, and Gasol makes obviously a quick pass because Gasol is so good at making that extra pass. And Pascal Siakam was wide open in the corner, and he hits it, and that effectively ended the Heat's season on that play. And so sharing the ball is definitely the way to go for the Raptors down the stretch. There's select times where maybe, look, you're turning the ball over a lot, or there's a specific matchup where there's nobody on the other side who can guard Kawhi or maybe even guard Pascal and you want to go one-on-one, that's completely fine. But there's a specific set of circumstances you want to actually isolate in. You don't want to just dribble out the defense like James Harden. The Raptors don't have a guy like that. Since they've gotten Gasol, like, the ball movement has been so good, they're going to be able to get a good shot just by running the regular offense. And so that was encouraging. And then defensively, I thought Pascal made a couple of great shot contests against Dwayne Wade, especially just to deny the shot. Danny Green played some great defense on Dwayne Wade. I mean, look, Danny Green ending Dwayne Wade's career is kind of, you know, poetic in a way. But, that's no disrespect to D. Wade at all. Like, there were tons of Heat fans at Scotiabank today. I'm sure a lot of them made the trip up to Canada to come see the game. And, you know, Dwayne Wade, he can hold his head up high because he – he's probably the best player on the Heat tonight. Like, he still had 21 points, which led the team in scoring at the age of 36. He had 5 assists, you know, the 3 rebounds, 7 of 14 shooting, hit 4 of 6 from deep. Like, the Raptors obviously weren't trying to give him threes, even though he's obviously not known as a 3-point shooter, but the Raptors still gave him a lot of respect. I mean, they were trapping him and then double teaming him on the perimeter a lot of times just to make sure Wade wasn't the one to beat him. And Wade was still able to use his crafty footwork, you know, like the stuff that Dwayne Wade made a whole career on, like the pivoting and the contorting his body and then coming up clutch with threes. And, you know, there's a rebound that he won in overtime where, you know, the Raptors couldn't really get the defensive rebound after a missed three. And then the ball went up. And I forget who Dwayne Wade was going up against. But, like, again, this is a 36-year-old skying for an offensive rebound and winning it. Like, how many 36-year-olds are able to do that? Like, that's just, it's super impressive. And, you know, the Heat couldn't hit a three after, you know, Wade's valiant effort. And I think that was also kind of you know, reflective of how the Heat have been over the last couple of years. The talent level was just too low to, you know, make an actual playoff run and actually do damage and give Dwayne a good send-off. But Dwayne could hold his head up high, and, you know, he eventually swapped jerseys with Kawhi. That was nice to see. Obviously, you know, he's already given a jersey to DeLon early in the year, and also to Kyle, and now to Kawhi. So, you know, great career for Dwayne Wade, obviously, for Raptors fans. You know, there's no real animosity against Dwayne Wade, I don't think, unless I'm missing something. But, you know, just all I remember is that 2016 second-round series. I mean, it was super ugly between the two sides. And, you know, eventually it was Kyle Lowry who broke through with a huge Game 7 to put the Heat away. It turned into a blowout, and then it turned into a party at Young and Dundas. But, yeah, I mean, Dwayne Wade has always been a guy who's fought hard, and I think you know, if this is the last real game of his career, I mean, to be honest, I found myself rooting for Dwayne Wade at the end of the game. Because, you know, look, the game doesn't matter that much to the Raptors. Like, I want them to win, and I want them to, you know, maintain pace with Golden State. That is one thing that Nick Nurse talked about before the game and after the game, was about how, you know, they are keeping an eye on the standings, because if the Raptors win out the remainder of the season, they will have clinched home court against the Warriors, because they do hold the tiebreaker. The Raptors are right now tied in the loss column with Golden State, but the Raptors have 2 extra wins. So, you know, it is something that they're cognizant of. And you know, Nick Nurse did say that he wants to make sure that that is something that the Raptors can, you know, have that slight advantage come time for the finals if it gets that far. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, towards the end, I was really just rooting for Dwayne, because it's like one of the storybook moments, right? Dwayne was having one of those games where it kind of reminded me, to a smaller extent, to the Kobe's, you know, Kobe's last game where, yeah, the guy was going for 60 and, like, making this crazy comeback against Gordon Hayward and the Jazz. And, you know, obviously he scored, like, took, like, 50 shots. And Dwayne was obviously much more efficient in his final road game. But it had that feel where it felt like that storybook ending was coming with Dwayne Wade hitting some crazy shot at the end. But it was not to be. The Raptors, you know, I thought they played well. They played well. Obviously, they didn't, you know, didn't give the great effort to start the game, which makes sense. Again, it's a noon start against a very desperate team. The Raptors have very little to play for. And also, you know, most of the team was at the Ibaka Foundation last night. So, you know, it was a quick turnaround for these guys. But you know, they got it together in the second half. The defense was solid. And again, for people that are worried about the Raptors flipping a switch or whatever, like, they clearly have another level, right? And whether they choose to always play at that level is, you know, it's a little bit, it might be a little bit frustrating to see a veteran team not always play at their best. But, like, again, it's completely understandable, right? That's, you want to just manage your energy. And I think, you know, the Raptors showed once again that when all the chips were down on the table, they were able to out-execute, and, you know, they came away with the win in overtime. So, in terms of your 3 stars, given the first star to Norman Powell, I mean, that man, he had, look, he wasn't necessarily the best player on the floor tonight. I think it was probably Pascal. But Norm had 23 points on 7 of 7 shooting off the bench. 4 of 4 from the three-point line. Would have been perfect, except he shot 5 of 6 on the free throw line. He split a pair on a clear path foul where he got ahead of the pack and Dwayne Wade fouled him. But, I mean, he had an amazing night off the bench. And it was a night where the bench unit was not playing well, right? Like, you look at the rest of the bench guys. Serge Ibaka, minus 17. OG Anunoby, minus 22. And I'll talk about OG in a sec, too. But Norm really carried them. He was a plus 4 in 21 minutes. And again, this is the funny thing with Norm, right? He's so all or nothing. But I think the difference with this season, at least, is that Norm's highs are a lot higher than they were before. I think a lot of that has to do with playing with a playmaker like Marc Gasol. I feel like those two definitely have some chemistry, and they definitely connected in a couple baskets in the first half. But, you know, it's just Norm has this aggression to him, and I truly believe the three-point shot is looking better. Like, I think one of the reasons why he struggled in the last two games were he only had 2 points against the Charlotte Hornets. He only had 4 points against Brooklyn. He only took 1 3 in those two games, right? Like, I think his three-point shot has gone to a point where it's better. Like, and he should take it more often. He should look for it more often. And the Raptors should look for him more often, because he's actually catching a couple, you know, just catch-and-shoot style coming out around the screen and hitting those. And also, obviously, when, you know, the ball swings to him, he's able to hit those catch-and-shoot threes as well. But, you know, you look at today, 4-4 from three. You look at, last Saturday, you know, he's 3-for-6 against the Bulls, 3-for-4 against the Knicks, 4-for-5 against the Bulls before that, 2-for-2 against the Hornets. Like, Norm can kind of shoot now, right? So I think he should look for that shot more often. Obviously, when he goes to the basket and he picks his spots, especially when he should go to the basket, he's very effective. And so Norm gets my first star. Second star, I'm giving that to Pascal. 23 points on 8 of 10 shooting, 3 of 5 from deep, 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds. An assist in 37 minutes, plus 19 with the starters. I've run out of things to say about Pascal. You know, there's some hesitation, you know, about, there's not hesitation, but there's some question, like minor question, whether or not Pascal can sort of translate his production into the playoffs. I do think teams are going to scheme against him. They're going to dare him to do certain things, and they're going to basically purposely disrespect him in order to guard the other players on the team. But having said that, I mean, one of the things teams are probably going to do is take away the three-point line. I mean, Pascal is just continuously hit threes. I mean, today he had a clutch three in overtime. And I think, you know, defense is going to do the exact same thing to him in the playoffs. But I trust Pascal, especially in the corners. He's money from there. And overall, 8 of 10. I mean, he just makes so many plays for the team without actually having a play run for him. His energy was great. I mean, him helping on the defensive glass was huge, because the Heat, obviously very aggressive, very athletic team, and, you know, they needed Pascal to be active on the glass. He did that. And, you know, what else can you say, man? 23 points and 8 of 10 shooting is incredible efficiency. And then the third star, I can come down to a couple people here. I'm going to give it to Danny Green ultimately, because he had 21 points and 7 of 13 shooting, 5 of 9 from deep, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He did tweak his foot, I think, at one point, but he finished out the game and, you know, played great. You know, the Raptors might have to consider giving Danny a little bit of time off against the Timberwolves. I don't know if they're going to rest him outright or whatever, but I could see a veteran like Danny needing some rest. But that man is scorching right now. That man is scorching. He's been scorching all season, really. But 21 points and just yet another great performance against the Heat. Obviously, he had that game winner against the Heat earlier this season. You know, he's such a blessing. He's so reliable on those threes. And the Raptors also run a couple of plays now where, like, they're basically doing the hammer play for him that the Cavs used to run for Kyle Korver, where they'd run a pick and roll on one side of the floor, and then Danny would slip behind a screen to go into the corner, and the guy running the pick and roll on the strong side will reverse the ball along the baseline, and Danny would catch and shoot. And they've run it successfully a couple of times now over the last couple of games, and, you're never going to run your offense through Danny Green necessarily, but it's great that the Raptors have a couple of those plays earmarked for him. And to be honest, he's just even off catch and shoots alone. Like, I know defenses are not trying to leave Danny Green, but the way the rest of the starters are moving the ball, Danny's got a lot more threes. And this is something Nick Nurse talked about. He attributes the rise in three-point shooting, which the Raptors shot 16 of 41 today, so 39%, another great night, another free box of free fries. But, you know, Nick Nurse has talked about how a lot of the rise in three-point shooting, the bump in three-point shooting, has really been that more shots are going to the players that are the better shooters. And Danny has, I mean, he got 9 three-point shots off today. Like, as a defense, you obviously want to limit him, you know, below that number, and he's just capitalizing. So Danny's a great year. But obviously, like, I think Gasol even has a claim to the third star as well, just with the way he moved the ball. I mean, he had 8 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists in 33 minutes. Again, the plus minus doesn't lie with him, man. Plus 23 in 33 minutes, the highest on the team. You know, I just think that Gasol does so much problem solving for the Raptors. It's like watching him play basketball is like, you know, watching a chess master almost. You know what I mean? Like, he's seeing a couple moves ahead. He knows exactly what the consequences of his movements are, what the consequences of his teammates' movements are, and how to, you know, just trigger, you know, swing sequences that end in open corner threes. And Gasol is just he's great, and the fact that the guy can impact the game that much despite only taking four shots at the center position is it's just a testament to how smart the guy is, man. I mean, he's just the Heat ran a lot of zone, and it kind of stifled the Raptors offensively in the first half, but Gasol is like the ultimate zone buster. It's almost like you're challenging him to beat you with his thinking, because he gets in the middle of the floor or he sets a screen, he gets the ball, and at that point the defense is just at his mercy, and he's introduced a lot of cutting and three-point shooting into the offense. So Gasol had a great game as well, but ultimately I'm giving it to Norm, Pascal, and Danny Green. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, I got to give that to a former Raptor, very, very divisive Raptor, but James Johnson, man, the guy, he just kept the Heat alive with a couple of his plays. I mean, first off, the playmaking as a power forward, he's very, very good at passing, and he kind of played that Boris Diaw role tonight. But, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, pretty good defense on Kawhi Leonard, all things considered. Kawhi had an inefficient night of 7 on 19 shooting for 22 points. I mean, James Johnson did a really, really good job. And he hit a 3 late in the game to keep the Heat alive. He just consistently kind of got free in that pick and roll situation where he would slip the screen, make the right pass, and either do that or drive to the rim. And so, he was having a great game. And to be honest, a lot of that came at the expense of OG Anunoby, who continues to look mad rusty, like really rusty, right? Like even just watching him shoot before the game, he was like having trouble with the free throw line, having trouble obviously with threes. And so, I think the Raptors still gave him extended run. I know 17 minutes doesn't look like a lot, especially for a game in overtime, but Nick Nurse stuck with OG when, the Heat were threatening to run away with the game in the fourth quarter there. And I think that's important. That's an important concession you got to make, because you're going to need OG to produce, because like who else do you have at backup power forward, right? It's either him, or you're splitting Pascal and Kawhi and making Kawhi play some backup four as well. Like, that's just not ideal, especially with the roster the way it is. Now, maybe the Raptors go get another power forward, but I doubt that guy is going to immediately crack the rotation. It's really just going to be an emergency body. So they need OG to, be solid in that role and just, the three-point shot is not there for him. Defensively, again, he let James Johnson drive past him a couple times. Like, I just think that OG's rusty. And to be honest, he doesn't have much time to get unrusty, but yeah, it's a bit of a concern for sure, because without OG too, like I said in the past, like it just makes the Raptors small ball units a lot less effective, because if you have to play a lot of guards at once and you don't have any bigs, even marginal bigs like an OG and an OB, that is going to hurt you defensively, because the Raptors will be hurt for size. So they need OG to produce well. Hopefully OG gets more time in the Timberwolves game and he finds his rhythm, but I'm not optimistic about that one right now. And to be honest, OG's just had a really, really strange season. It's been, a lot, one thing after another in terms of just setbacks, and hopefully it all comes together, but I'm not holding my breath. But good win by the Raptors. The Raptors game 81 of the season, last home game. It was a fun atmosphere with all the Heat fans there, and the Raptors fans as well. And so, obviously a very fun finish. And so the Raptors will finish the season on Tuesday against the Timberwolves. Look out for that game. I believe we're doing a live post-game show on Twitter, on Yahoo. So look out for that. So the podcast will be replaced by the post-game show, where you get to actually, see four people come together and talk about the game right after the tip. So follow along for that. And in the meantime, again, a friendly reminder to please rate and review Raptors Love Everything. We're trying to get to 200 reviews by the end of the month, and we're making good progress, but still, please just go ahead and
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, just hit 5 stars. It's super easy. And write a nice review, things like that. And thanks to everyone for listening. I'll be back on Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.